There's a world of opportunity out there beyond the typical 9-to-5, where purpose and grit come together, where the American spirit and ingenuity are welcomed in places that could really use your skills and your experience. We're talking about the Peace Corps, with volunteers living and working in communities around the globe. It's been called the toughest job you'll ever love. Tough because it asks so much of you to dig deeper, get your hands dirty, to go that extra mile, to rise to the occasion, and meet challenges head on. And the love part comes from being part of something bigger than yourself, from building bonds that last a lifetime. It's knowing your hard work transformed lives, including your own. After 65 years, the Peace Corps is still the toughest job you'll ever love. Explore opportunities in more than 60 countries. Learn about benefits and apply at peacecorps.gov/serve.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And we got a special bonus episode Woo-hoo! For you yeah. here. Put your masks on because we're going to be talking about Mask number one coming out from Skybound and Image Comics. It is coming out on June 10th, 2026, but the final our order cutoff is April 6th, so you can get your orders in for whichever of the many covers you want to pick up at your local comic book shop. There's also going to be a taste of it in the Energon Universe Special 2026, which is coming out May 2nd on Free Comic Book Day. Cool. And to talk about all of that, we are here with the writer of Mask himself, Dan Waters. Dan, welcome to the podcast.
Woo-hoo, welcome.
Thanks very much for having me.
Yeah, no problem. So excited to talk Mask. I'm going to full disclosure here right at the top. The two guys to the side here, Pete and Justin, they are the Mask fans. I'm a Mask neophyte. I did watch the opening theme 5 minutes before we got on here, so I'm very familiar with that. I framed this up to be I have no stake in the geek card here. What is your familiarity with Mask, if anything, Dan?
With a lot of the Energon stuff, I'm kind of the generation behind when it originally came out. I was born in the 90s, very early 90s, in the 90s. So I sort of missed the first time around. G.I. Joe, for example, any sort of knowledge of, because in the UK they rebranded it to Action Force and then Action Man by the time I was a kid, because they figured someone somewhere decided that real American hero wasn't going to sort of fly with the British audience. And they were like, we'll just turn it into James Bond, which did work. And I had a load of those toys, but Mask was more present. And so yeah, Mask was more about when I was a kid. It was mainly the toys, and they were very sort of strange and unusual. And I was never quite sure what their deal was. They sort of looked like astronauts or divers and the strange transforming cars. And it was sort of things that I made up my own stories for, which is a bad habit that continues to this day.
Well, let's talk about the Energon of it all then. You worked on Destro, which we absolutely loved.
Yeah, great series. That was great.
Obviously a very different thing, and something that they've been laying seeds in G.I. Joe and Transformers. How much were you involved in that lead up, or were they kind of giving you the, like, here's where Matt Tracker's at, here's where Miles Mayhem is at, go run with it?
Yeah, there was a bit of both. Like, I think the sort of decision to put Matt Tracker in the, I think it was the Energon Special 24, where he first dropped off. I think that happened before I was brought on board, but everything kind of after that was all in collaboration or sort of using threads from my pitch. It's been very collaborative since it was decided that I would be involved in this thing. And really, I can talk about not having known the franchises back to front before I got involved, but the sort of Energon universe of it all is what's kind of appealing and exciting to me, in terms of, I think there is a whole audience being brought to these things by this, by the fact that this is a universe you can get ground floor of, and I feel like I'm kind of part of that side of the audience.
How do you approach something like this where there is, you know, there's like a hardcore nostalgia fan base, sort of the Pete and Justin of Mask, and then you have your newbies, your posers, your fakers, your liars, you know, like the Alex Zalvin, your people coming fresh to it. How do you write to sort of speak to both audiences at the same time?
Well, you just pose and fake and lie your way through.
Yeah, I knew it.
Smart.
It's about doing your research and making sure that's, you know, that's part of the, that's the whole joy, because otherwise you could, you know, just go away and make stuff up from scratch, which I often do too. You know, you do create your own stuff, but having these universes available to you, like all this raw material, that's, you know, it's great stuff created by artistic people over generations, and having all of that raw material to play with, you know, why would you not want to do your research? Why would you not want to like, see what's there for the taking? And like, that's always a big part of the appeal of any sort of shared universe. It's sort of having access to these things. So it doesn't matter to me too much if it's something I knew back to front beforehand. I'm going to do my research either way, and to be honest, I'm also going to try and not create as a fan, create as a creator.
Sorry.
Nostalgia kicking in everywhere.
Yeah, we have a soundtrack that we play. We play it live.
Yeah, I figured we're getting into sort of chop chop territory.
Yes, exactly.
I have some crazy fart noises I'm about to play. Just get ready. Just to pivot a little bit off of that, you have Pi Par on art, who is great. What does Pi bring to the project? How does that influence how you're tackling Mask?
I mean, Pi is fantastic. Anyone who saw Drew Head, I think, can attest to that. But it was a no-brainer to bring Pi on for this kind of book. His work's just so kinetic and so fast, and that's really like, it just fits the rhythm so well of what is kind of, I think at this point, kind of expected from an Energon universe book. Like, these books move at a clip, and I did not want to be the one who slowed that down. So we're sort of rising to the challenge there, but Pi makes that makes my life a lot easier, because he draws pars like nobody else, and is so like enthusiastic for both the material and the sort of the bits that we're sort of playing with and redesigning. He's kind of a dream collaborator.
It really
like
does.
So many. I feel like so much. Sorry, Pete. I feel like so many artists are like really dislike drawing intricate cars, very detailed computer panels. Is Pi a sick maniac, or? Why lean into this so hard?
I mean, you know, Pi and I are both from the UK, so, you know, we're all sick maniacs.
the excitement does jump off the page. And as someone who is such a fan of this, this is, you know, such a great thing for my childhood, because in the backyard, you know, G.I. Joe, Mask, Transformers, they all played in the same sandbox. So this is very exciting to have this kind of going on, and the art does represent that really well. And you did such a great job on Destro, and Miles Mayhem is such a messed up villain. Was there things that once you kind of got into this world and you thought, okay, cars, you know, robots and stuff, was there anything, any people you were surprised by, or things that you really like, well, now that I'm digging into this, this character is really impressive or really insane?
I mean, I think our version of Matt Tracker is so much fun. Like, yeah. I love writing this statement track. You know, yeah, the 80s cartoon, he's very sort of team cut and very, very sort of well adjusted, and that is not the match we are dealing with here. He is, you know, he's someone who was kind of he's a sort of genius who was pushed out of the organization he was a part of. I'm trying not to give away too much to people who haven't read that stuff yet, but he's very sort of cynical and very smart, and he's always the smartest guy in the room, but golly, he never. So sort of the journey we're taking him on, and like to figure out if he can sort of lead this network, the Mask Network, I think that's the thing that for me the most has been sort of the real joy of it. I knew I was going to write Miles Mayhem. I knew it would be easy for me to write Miles Mayhem. There's a reason that people come to me for villain, but fairly often I enjoy this character. But Matt Tracker has turned out to be way more.
Cool. I am curious. Oh, I did want to ask about Miles Mayhem, just to follow up on that, because this is Justin P., correct me if I'm wrong.
We will.
With the 80s cartoons, there wasn't a lot of nuance to the characters.
How dare you?
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Maybe I'm intuiting wrong, but his name is Miles Mayhem, and he leads an organization called Venom. I imagine he was mostly like cackling evil. So what are you injecting him with here in the book to make him potentially feel more modern, or is he modern day Dr. Claw?
Also, apologies. Dan, you don't have to answer that if you're insulted by that. You know what I mean?
And apologies to the Mayhem family out there who I know listens to this, and our regular people, Alex. Good family.
Yeah.
Yeah, the regular people of the vicious evil network of Mayhem, which is what Venom is an acronym for. I mean, I think if you look, like, you know, I look back at the sort of cartoon, I was like, okay, well, you know, character motivation is very important, and no one thinks of themselves as the villain. I think Miles Mayhem might have been the exception to that.
That's really funny.
In terms of, like, I don't know if he can go through there, and maybe someone can go through there with a finer tooth comb than me, but I don't know what he wanted other than evil. Money, sort of, abjectly, but you'd think, you know, he has a helicopter that turns into a jet. If you need money, he does. That's that. if you're hard up for cash. So yes, I think what was one of the really interesting things to do here, to figure out, and it's those sort of problems that lead you to story. You know, there's a lot of times, like, sort of things that feel like they're in the way. It's like, actually, that obstacle is the thing. It's what gives us, like, the core of our story. And really with this, there was the sort of thing of, okay, like, you know, you've got a clear delineation between Cobra Commander and, like, you know, any of the Decepticons, because they want very different. Whereas Miles Mayhem, Cobra Commander, like, there's not clear an obvious delineation there. Like, you know, one has Cobra, one has Venom, one, you know, one is a snake-themed evil network, and the other one is a snake-themed evil network. So figuring out, like, what that was, like, what made Miles Mayhem different was like, the sort of first question. But it led us to a sort of, it led us to a very different take on the character, and a very different character. Miles Mayhem absolutely thinks he is the only person he can see. He absolutely thinks he is. He is going to, you know, do it all for our sake. He is going to make us take our medicine. And save us from the evil space robots. That he is maniacally insane is makes sense.
Well, it sounds go ahead, Justin.
I was going to say, like, in the mask, it originally was made in a time where the biggest technology of, like, a boat coming out of a car was mind blowing. But it's been a bit. Time has passed. Technology has progressed. Did you have to update some of the technology, or is there a new twist on it that you're taking and bringing to the series?
Well, I think that was part of the fun as well. Was the sort of yes, we're writing for a more sophisticated audience than you know the original Vicious Evil Network of Mayhem was sort of designed for. It was more a case of sort of reverse engineering. Sort of going, okay, so why bother wearing these masks? Why is the technology specifically for masks? Okay, well, maybe the masks have other capabilities, maybe, you know, rather than just like laser guns or heat rays or the beams that come out of the eyepiece. Maybe it's more of a life support system. Maybe there's, you know, all these other things going on inside that piece of technology. Would make sense in this kind of mission. So between that and the sort of the vehicles, I think it also gives us the opportunity to you know surprise people along the way. Some tweaks.
Yeah. It feels like this is a jumping back question, but it feels like having Miles tied, his motivation tied to Transformers, that's a little bit of the gift of the Energon universe, right? Like that it's not Mask existing on its own. It is actually in the world of G.I. Joe. It is in the world of Transformers. I imagine you want to let them stand on their own for a little bit, but how much does that integration help when you're plotting things out?
Yeah, I think it's key in this book in particular because, I mean, you know, I talked about the difference between Venom and Cobra, but there's also a difference between G.I. Joe and Mask, which is Mask is ostensibly it's a civilian operation. So these are ordinary people. Who Tracker has sort of chosen for his mask network. And they are seeing the world change unimaginably fast around them. So events of the Transformers book, events from the G.I. Joe book are all kind of, you know, they're big and they're kind of loud and this is kind of about ordinary people and how they respond to it and how they try and talk with this world change.
I know Mask number one obviously is the big thing, but first is going to be the Energon Universe special where we get a little tease of it. Is this a excerpt or is this an entirely different tale leading into Mask number one?
Yeah, it's entirely different. In fact, it's actually, you know, to give a bit of how the sausage is made, it was actually a sequence originally from Mask, if you want. Mm-hmm. And then editorial were kind of like, hey, we really liked it and we've been trying to figure out what goes in this part of the Energon special. Mm-hmm. So would you mind just sort of, you know, cutting that out, putting it there and then coming up with for Mask issue one, which was always fun.
That's a big change though. Isn't that a pretty big change?
I mean, it just meant we moved the story along a little bit to the, you know, stuff that was going to be in issue two moves into issue one. And shuffling stuff around is a big part of the job. Which is all just to say that it's absolutely like important parts of the story and introductory stuff that was originally planned for issue one.
Mask number one, as one might expect, is coming with a ton of covers and blind bags and even some die-cut mask covers. I know you have the inside track, but is there any cover that you're hoping to get in particular for Mask number one?
I'm hoping they send me all of them.
There you go.
Should get good answer. Set.
Yeah.
I'll have to be really nice to Robert.
I have a silly question. The theme song is such a banger, and I, you know, reading it, I'm going to have that playing in my head the whole time, just because it was such a earworm type of song. Does it affect your writing or anything at all when making this comic?
You mean my poor wife? Like when I was first asked to do this gig, I was like, all right, I'm gonna just mainline a bunch of this cartoon. And it was to the point where she would keep catching herself humming the theme tune.
Wow.
Yeah. It really is such an earworm. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I mean it definitely sets a tone. I'm kind of a music guy, and I listen to a lot of like 80s speed metal and thrash metal while I'm writing this, but it was right.
Cool. For the uninitiated, if anyone is here even on this podcast, is there any particular Mask cartoon episode that you would point them to?
Ooh,
or is it just a case of really jumping in at the beginning and watching it and not saying another word until you finish watching it?
I mean, I think the first season is like 85 episodes. So, the name of them, it's the one with the sort of metal bugs released from the lab.
Oh, nice.
That was a really cool one. What are they called? It begins with a K. I'm certain of that.
I bet it begins with a K. Yes, that's that's a good guess.
It's how you make things cool. These sort of metal bugs that eat metal, and they're released in this kind of swarm, and it's this sort of turtles down the highway. I just love a clean story like that.
Yeah,
trying to stop something awful from getting.
All right, I will check that one out.
I'm gonna
sure
and rewatch that.
Last question for you. You previously wrote Destro, as we mentioned. He has a mask. Will he be showing up in Mask?
Fair game.
You have to wait and see. I definitely did start exploring some stuff and opening some sort of threads and corners of the John universe. And it was like very like exciting to be on the ground floor of the universe. So, here are some toys and some sort of building blocks are out there, with no idea at the time whether I would become the Indiana Jones. I was like, hey, maybe I'll pick them up. Maybe someone else will pick them up. Maybe no one will care. I am back.
I did look it up, and it's the Rotex are the name of the bugs. Yeah.
Damn. So it doesn't start with a K, but there's a K in.
Yeah. Ends with a K.
Ends with a K. Yes, we know how to spell. We have learned that over the course of the podcast. For everybody listening out there, again, Mask number one, the Energon Universe Special 2026 is coming out May 2nd on Free Comic Book Day. Mask number one comes out June 10th, and final order cutoff for that is April 6th. So get your orders in, because there are plenty of blind bags and covers and things you can grab. Dan, so great chatting with you. Congrats.
Yeah,
I
can't
Mask.
Wait.
Looking forward to watching that episode, and we'll next talk after I've watched the entire first season.
Yeah.
And he's finally grown up.
I'll speak to you in 2029, then.
Of the